Good evening again, everyone. If you've got a Bible with you, if you want to turn, please, to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I'm going to pray first and ask for God's help with the word. Is that okay, Mark? Is that working? Father, in the name of Jesus, this evening again, as we look to your word, we pray that you would show us the hope that is found in Jesus. There may not be, Lord God, a lot of hope in this world. The unbelievers, Lord God, live in a world where there really isn't any hope except for that they might hope that a Christian would come and tell them about Jesus. That the Holy Spirit might come, Lord God, and convict them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. So that they would flee, Lord God, from the wrath of God and find salvation in and through Jesus, your Son. True hope, Lord God, everlasting hope, is found only in Jesus. And those who are outside of him are absolutely sure that they are without hope. And Lord, may people tonight who are without hope find hope in and through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Amen. I toyed with whether I should tell a joke to begin with this evening. And then I thought, I'm going to get into trouble for it. And I thought, sure, I get into trouble every week. Right, there was this guy who he had a hump on his back. Now, for anybody who has a hump, this is not to be taken offence by. And anybody with a club foot, don't take offence. And by the time the joke's finished, hopefully no one with a hump or a club foot will have been hurt in the telling of this joke. But there was a man who had a hump, and he was like this, and his mate who had a club foot. And they were both in the bar, and they were just chatting away as they do, and the man with a hump thought, oh my goodness, look at the time. She's never going to let me down. I have to get home. I have to get home. So the boy with a club foot says, take a shortcut through the graveyard. And he says, oh, no. He says, you couldn't do that. He says, too dangerous. He says, I've heard scary things about that place. So he says, look, it'll get you home half an hour early. He says, well, all right. So he's walking through the graveyard, and he's watching all around him. He's terrified as he's walking through, and he sees shadows, and all he's jumping as he's going through. And then, lo and behold, out from behind the gravestone jumps the devil. And the devil says, what are you doing? What are you doing? And he's like, don't hurt me, don't hurt me, don't hurt me, don't kill me, don't kill me. And the devil, terrified. And the devil says to him, what are you doing coming through this graveyard? He says, the wife's going to kill me. He says, I'm late, I'm late, I'm late. And he says, what's that in your back? He says, that's a hump. He says, give me that. And he takes a hump, your man. Off he goes home. Next night, down to the bar, straight back. And he walks, and his mate comes walking in. You see, and says to him, what happened to your hump? He says, you're never going to believe it. He says, I walked through a graveyard last night. He says, the devil jumped out. He says, what? He says, honestly, he says, the devil jumped out and he asked me what I was doing in the graveyard and all. He says, and I told him. And the next thing he says to me, what's that in your back? He says, and I just told him it's a hump. And he says, give me that. And he says, he took it off me. He says, God, he says, I wonder what he's doing anything for my club foot. So he says, wait until the same time. And he's walking through, your man, going through the graveyard. Oh, terrified. Looking everywhere, seeing shadows and all, panicking. And as he's walking through, next thing, the devil jumps out. The devil says, what are you doing in this graveyard? Says, don't hurt me, don't hurt me, don't kill me, don't kill me. And the devil says, what are you doing? He says, I'm trying to get home. He says, the wife, she's going to kill me. He says, I'm late. Please don't kill me, please don't kill me. And the devil says to him, well, what's wrong with your foot? And he big smile, and he says, it's clubbed. He says, what's that in your back? He says, nothing. He says, well, there's a hump. And the moral of the story is, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes you get more than you bargain for out of life. Sometimes you get more than you bargain for out of life. What must it be like to win the lottery? What must it be like when you hear, you know, on the radio and on the TV that the Euro Millions is 50 and 60 and 70 million pounds. What must it be like to win the lottery? Would it be the answer to all of your problems? Or is it all it's really cracked up to be? Is it like a bit like that joke? Maybe you got more than you bargained for out of life. You see, this week, I read about some millionaire lottery winners who lost everything they won. Having spent their fortune on lavish holidays, fast cars, boats, luxury mansions, and poor investments. In fact, one person even considered suing the National Lottery, arguing that they were negligent because they hadn't warned them about the risks of winning millions of pounds and the risks associated with winning millions of pounds, and nor did the National Lottery prepare them for it by offering them money management skills or money advice. Imagine, they win millions and then they're going to take the lottery to court because they squandered the whole lot. They took the hump. They took the hump. So, do you think winning the lottery would be the answer to all of your difficulties? You see, is it all it's cracked up to be? Or would you be getting more than you bargained for out of life? Wealth, lavish living, fast, well, that's a bit like my life anyway, isn't it? Like, wealth, lavish living, fast cars, boats, or luxury mansions. You know, the comedian Woody Allen have said this many times. The comedian Woody Allen said, money can't buy you happiness, but it can buy you a better quality or a better class of misery. Isn't that class? Money can't buy you happiness, but it can buy you a better class of misery. Perhaps you think you could handle having millions of pounds. Personally, I wouldn't mind giving it a try. Anybody has a spare million or two and they want to, you know, give it to me, I wouldn't mind giving it a try. I was telling somebody, I was telling someone recently about, I read about a guy in America who had put this notice up saying, I've always wanted to know what it's like to be a millionaire, and if everybody would send me a dollar, I'll write a book about it and tell you. And all them daft Americans sent him the money, and he became a millionaire and wrote a book and made even more money about how wonderful it is to be a millionaire. Perhaps, though, you're smarter. Perhaps you could handle having millions of pounds and you wouldn't fall into the trap of wasteful living like so many others. You know, talking about his wealth, it doesn't have to come from the lottery, but talking about his wealth, the famous Northern Ireland footballer, the late George Best, reportedly said, I spent a lot of money on booze, birds, and fast cars, and I squandered the rest. I spent a lot of money on booze, birds, and fast cars, and I squandered the rest. Another article that I read recently was about older people skiing. Now, I don't mean the geriatrics or the Blue Rinse Brigade, heading off to the pistes of Italy and France. I'm not talking about old people skiing on the snowy pistes of France and Italy. Skiing, S-K-I-ing. Skiing is an acronym which means spending the kids' inheritance. Spending kids' inheritance. And greater numbers, according to this article, greater numbers of older people are using what would have been set aside as the children's inheritance and are spending it on themselves, on holidays, luxuries, and profligate living. And in my opinion, Billy and Linda said, that's us. So for Billy's family who's watching, listen to the next line here. Listen to the next couple of lines. In my opinion, the money belongs to the parents and they can do with it as they please. But some kids have murdered their parents to prevent them from skiing. So it's true. I was reading articles about kids who had actually murdered their parents to stop them spending their inheritance. Why do so many people think wealth can bring them hope in life, hope for a better future? Money can't buy you happiness, but it can buy you a better class of misery. Let me ask you this. How would you feel if your son or your daughter came to you and said, give me my money now. I'm not waiting until you die, or you'll have it all spent. How would you feel if your kids come up to you and says, I need you either to drop dead right now, or give me my inheritance now, because I can't be bothered waiting until you die, because knowing you, you'll have it all spent. Well, this is what happens in our story tonight. Let's read in Luke chapter 15. Jesus telling this story, he says, verse 11. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods, give me my inheritance that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, when he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. The context here of this parable of Jesus is some religious leaders, the really big wigs of the day in the religious society, some Pharisees and scribes, they were complaining about Jesus spending so much time eating with sinners, as they called them. Jesus liked to be around the ordinary people, but they were criticizing Jesus, these religious big wigs, complaining that Jesus spent so much time with and eating with sinners. And Jesus tells two parables before this one, if you read the chapter. He tells the first about a shepherd who had lost one of his sheep, and how he goes out in search of the lost sheep until he finds it, and then he brings it home. And the second, he tells about a woman who has lost a valuable coin. It would have been like a marriage coin. They had these headbands with coins that hung on them for their marriage, and she had lost one. It was a very, very expensive coin, and she had lost this very valuable. And Jesus tells the story of having lost the coin, how she searches the entire house until she finds it. Both the shepherd and the woman rejoice that they have found that which was lost. And in this story, the younger son basically tells his dad, I can't be bothered waiting until you die. Give me my inheritance now. Now, I'm hoping that Jesus used this parable simply, you know, to put across the truth. I'm hoping there's not really a dad on planet Earth who would be stupid enough to do this. I can't be bothered waiting on you until you die. Give me my inheritance now. Well, as the younger of the two, he had a brother, if you read the rest of the chapter, an older brother, but as the younger of two sons, he was entitled, according to Jewish law, he was entitled to 1/3 of his father's estate. The firstborn son receives a double portion. And his dad gives him his share, and within a few days, he's off on one. He's away. Now, we're told that he traveled to a far country. What that basically suggests is that he went somewhere where no one knew him, where he could do as he pleased, where he could live as he pleased without any fear of consequence. In that sense, he knew what he was at. But wherever he traveled to, and we're not told, he quickly wasted all his money on prodigal living. This is called the prodigal son. Prodigal just means wasteful. He quickly wasted all his money on prodigal living, or as it say over here, he squandered the lot. He squandered the lot. You see, he wanted his inheritance. He couldn't wait to get his inheritance. But it finished up, he got more than he bargained for out of life. He thought everything would be rosy because he got all that he wanted and he could go away to this far off country and live as he pleased and do as he pleased. But he got more than he bargained for out of life. No doubt he made friends while he had money, because friends are easy to find when you splash the cash, but they disappear quickly when the money is done. And now here he is, homeless and skimp. He offered himself to a local person to work for them, and they gave him a job. Yeah, go out into the field and feed the pigs. Well, to any Jewish person, a job like this would have been degrading. It would have been a humiliating thing to do. But this guy was desperate. And when you're desperate, beggars can't be choosers. He was homeless, he was skint, and he was hungry. You see those people that we walk past in the streets? Ah, bloody old beggars. And it says homeless and hungry. You just don't know what their story is. You just don't know if maybe they got all of their inheritance and they squandered the heap. Or you don't know what has happened to them. The inheritance that they may have had throughout their life may have been so abusive that it's driven them from their homes. You don't know each individual person's story when it just says on a piece of cardboard, homeless and hungry. You don't know what that person's story is all about. Now, I'm not endorsing go and give them money. What I'm saying is just think about the person. Maybe there is something you can do to help that person. But this guy, he was left homeless, skint, and hungry. He thought about, this is how bad it was, he actually thought about eating the pig swill, because no one gave him anything to eat. When he had money, when he was splashing the cash, he would have had friends all around him. We've probably all been there and done that. We've seen those friends who are only friends while there's money and while there's things being given out. But as soon as that stops, they don't want to know, and they would never think of giving you something of their own. Imagine thinking of eating the pig swill because no one would give him anything to eat. In his misery, in the place that he was at looking after those pigs, he must have remembered happier times at home and how his dad's employees were better off than he was. His dad's employees were better off than him. And then we're told he came to his senses. Northern Ireland language, he wised up. He wised up and he decided, I'm going back home. I'm going back home. And suddenly, in the midst of that homelessness, in the midst of that being skint, in the midst of that hunger, in the midst of all of the squandered money and life that he had, he suddenly has a glimmer of hope in his hopeless situation. He knew he had let his dad down. He knew he had let him down big time. He knew that he had blown all of his inheritance. And if you read on, he blew it on prostitutes and so many other things. But he knew that if he went back, that he would admit to his dad what he had done. He would apologize and he would ask his dad, look, don't even treat me like I'm one of your sons. Just give me a job. I'll work for you. I would be better off than living with these pigs, even as an employee of my dad. And so, having wised up, he headed home. And he headed home with all of this plan in his head that when I get to the house, I'm going to say to my dad, don't even treat me like a son anymore. I'm scum. I've let you down big time. He knew what he had done. He knew he had wasted so much. And with all of this in his mind, he knew what he was going to do. But before he got near the house, Jesus says, before he even got near to his home, His dad, who had been watching for him, his dad knew him. His dad knew what his son was like, and every day he was out there watching, whether it was a big lane, whether it was a prairie, whatever you want to call these things, but his dad was watching every day, watching and hoping that his son would come back. And his dad, who had been watching, saw him at a distance, and his dad ran to meet him and hugged him and kissed him. And the son, of course, he started to blurt out, to tell his dad all that he had done and how sorry that he was for what he had done. And before he could even finish, his dad shouted to some of the workers, "Clothe him in the best of gear. Put a ring on his hand and give him shoes for his feet. Kill the fatted calf and let's celebrate, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found." What a beautiful story about the love of a dad for his son. But you know, it's more than the love of a dad for his son. It's about recovering that which was lost. How beautiful. It's about recognizing that the lost can be found. And this young man was lost to his dad. After taking all of his inheritance, he was lost to his dad, traveling off to a far off land and squandering everything he had. But you know what? This son always remained his father's son, and his dad loved him and longed for his return. I told the story here of years ago, a friend of mine that used to come into 6A when we were there in High Street in Bangor, and his parents actually took an article out in the County Down Spectator, and they said their name, "Mr. and Mrs. Joe Bloggs wish to let the people of North Down and Ards know that so-and-so Bloggs is no longer our son." He had let them down so badly that they actually took an advertisement out in the County Down Spectator. And me and the son laughed about it, because I said, "You know what? Doesn't matter what they write, you will always be your father's son. Even if they disown you, you will always be your father's son." But this son in this story always remained his father's son, and his dad loved him and longed for his return. See, in this story, we see that hope isn't found in great wealth and riches or in lottery wins. Hope isn't found in lavish, prodigal living or in worldly pleasures. Hope is found in a father's love for his son. So how does this story tonight speak to us? Well, God is the Father who loves us. And God has granted us life and many, many other blessings. In that sense, he has blessed us with an inheritance. Now, while we're alive, every one of us, he has blessed us with so many blessings for life. And many have chosen to live their God-given lives their own way, and they squander it in the ways of the world. Many are used and abused by others and left desolate, seemingly without a friend or anyone who cares, but God always cares. Many feel like life is empty and meaningless, and they have no hope whatsoever for the future. But God, the Father who loves us, is always watching and waiting for people just like this man's son to come to their senses. God the Father is always watching for people in Northern Ireland to wise up and to return to him. God the Father, who loves you tonight, is always watching and waiting for you to return to him. Through Jesus, God has provided a way for people who've wasted their lives in sin and in worldly living to come back to Him. God the Father is watching and waiting on you tonight to come to your senses and to return to Him. And He will receive you because He hasn't stopped loving you, even though you're squandering your life away. Wealth and riches can be a blessing, but they can also be a curse and cause of great trouble. But wealth and riches do not bring hope. True hope in this life and for the life to come is found in God the Father through Jesus Christ, His Son. So let me ask you, have you got that hope tonight? Do you want that hope tonight? Then just like the young man in our story, you need to come to your senses and return to God the Father who loves you, and He will receive you and give you riches beyond compare. Our hope, our inheritance must be found in the Lord, not in the pleasures or the treasures of this world. The world and all that it offers never brings true and lasting hope. But God's word promises this: those who hope in the Lord shall not be disappointed. Hear that? Those who hope in the Lord shall not be disappointed. Don't squander your life with profligate, prodigal, wasteful living. Come to your senses, wise up, and return to the God of love and of hope. Let's pray. Father, tonight, for those of us who know You and love You, we can acknowledge ashamedly, Lord God, that we squandered so much of our lives in the ways of this world, in the treasures and the pleasures or the pursuit of them, Lord God, the things of this world. But they brought us no lasting hope. Our lives were still empty and meaningless, Lord God. And we, like that young man in this story, Lord God, we were left desolate. There were times, Lord God, when we were used and abused, when people would have happily taken from us, Lord God, but when we were left with nothing, they weren't there to help us. And we thought no one cared. We thought no one, Lord God, could reach out to strengthen us, to draw us, Lord God, again into the right ways. But thank You that by the power of Your Holy Spirit moving upon us, He gave us the ability to come to our senses, to wise up, telling us that there is hope, there is love, there is forgiveness of sins, there is everlasting life, there is adoption into our Father's family through faith in Jesus Christ. And thank You, Holy Spirit, that You helped us to come to our senses and to yield our lives to the Lord. And we have found hope and life forevermore in and through Him. Lord, may we live lives that reflect the hope that is found in Jesus. We pray for others, Lord God, who are still lost in this world, who are without hope because they're outside of Christ. And we ask, Lord, that You would graciously send Your Spirit to them as You did to us, and that He, Lord God, would show them the hope that is found in Jesus, and that they would flee, Lord God, from the desolate, wasteful, prodigal lives that they're living, from the squandering of their lives, and that they would come to You and find life forevermore and be partakers of the blessed hope that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, Your Son. For we ask this in His glorious name. Amen.